This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the MMQB Week in Review. We don't do it every week, but we're doing it this week, and we'll recap whatever week it is that we're on the schedule. Our Friday show from the MMQB. I'm Mitch Goldich, joined in Zoom by Jenny Varentis, Albert Breer, and Connor Orr. Hey, everyone, how's it going?
Hi, Mitch.
Hey.
We are
back. We have like a facial hair war here that I'm like not even involved in, so.
I was going to say, the last time we used a new platform where we couldn't see each other, and Connor sabotaged that platform today so that we would go back to Zoom. And I thought it was so he could sneak a peek at my beard again, which I know he loves talking about. But surprise, surprise, it was so Connor could show off his own mustache in all of its glory. And this is the first time I've seen your chin. Anyone has seen your... The beard's gone, mustache is back. Connor, what's behind this decision here?
I don't know. It's the first time my two-year-old has ever seen my chin. The first time I've been beardless. I started growing this beard after I got married in 2016. So it's been a long road. But I think during COVID, the mask irritates it a lot. And it's been hot out a lot recently. And so I just decided to see what life was like on the other side. The mustache is very temporary. Specifically kept it for 24 hours just to bother my wife.
And it's an act of war against Mitch.
Mitch's... I cannot touch Mitch's beard. I can't describe to you guys how perfect this thing is. It's ridiculous.
It really is. I have to fact check Mitch, though. You said that no one's seen Connor's chin. I've known Connor for a decade. Yeah. I have seen Connor's chin.
I underestimated how long he... That's fair. I'm trying
Jenny
to picture...
the only person...
Funny. this, you know, everyone made such a big deal about Gardner Minshew last year, and it's always, like, mildly exciting when some NFL person shows up with a mustache. Like, Baker Mayfield has done it, and Aaron Rodgers has done it. I'm trying to think of who is a good comp for Connor mustache-wise. It feels like it's more Baker than Rodgers or Minshew. Do you think that's accurate to say about his mustache?
I think that's pretty accurate. It did give me a little Gardner Minshew vibes, I will say. But now that you threw Baker Mayfield in as an option, I think we're leaning that way.
I'm also wearing thigh-length denim shorts, so if that sways anybody's opinion in terms of Gardner Minshew. You know, I should have left it a little bit fuller, but then I was going to shave everything off. This was a very abrupt decision, but yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
We're all happy with it. All right. Let's
that was
roll
the big
in.
News of the week. So
yeah, I was gonna say. So we usually start this by talking about what's been keeping us busy. It started as books, or movies or TV shows, but basically something we've been doing that we've been watching. Part of this is pandemic related. Just everyone's looking for things to fill time, and I think it started as, you know, recommendations turned into hobbies and Legos and things. But why don't we go around? Albert, do you want to go first and share something you've been watching or doing the last week or the last since we've done this podcast?
Man, I'm like kind of boring. I smoked ribs on Monday, and they
thought
actually
that was
turned
going
out
a different direction.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah, no, I smoked ribs on Monday, so that was the first time I've gotten the smoker going. We've kind of had I don't know, you guys probably have similar weather to me, but we've had kind of a cold, rainy spring here in New England, and so it's actually, you know, pretty nice out over the weekend. So on Monday, I wound up going out back and smoking some ribs, getting the smoker going for the first time. So I think that was probably my big activity. I mean, I watched part of the Lance documentary. I fell asleep during that, so nothing too exciting.
Yeah, I saw on Instagram your kids just spreading barbecue sauce out meat. And that was a good Memorial Day activity.
Yeah. They loved it. They actually got great advice on that. Somebody said, let them paint the ribs and we'll let them do it. And they were all about it.
Jenny, how about you?
I think the most exciting thing I did was continue my exploration of Central Park. Lots of areas of the park I didn't know existed. There's like a nature preserve all the way in the south end of the park. I walked through the Central Park Zoo, which was mostly closed off, but you could kind of walk through the main like mall of the zoo, which I had never walked through, which is crazy because I've lived adjacent to Central Park for like 10 years. And so just this vast expanse of parts of the park that I had never walked on. So I printed off a map, was going to trace the paths and just see if I had gone on every main path in the park yet.
No exciting celebrity sightings this week though for you, Jenny.
No.
Callback for anyone who's a regular listener of this podcast. Connor, how about you? Anything big besides obviously growing out the mustache and shaving the beard?
I'm repairing an old Nintendo, which I have here.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So I have to fix it. The pin connector on the Nintendo is broken, so it won't read the games.
Aren't you too young for Nintendo? But the original Nintendo, wouldn't you be too young for that or no?
Came out in 85 and I was born in 88. So I mean, it was still kind of the first system. My parents also were pretty long holdouts. I didn't get a gaming system until I was probably like 8 or 9 years old. So my uncle had a Nintendo. So I think that's kind of where the nostalgia came in for me. So I'm doing that and fixing the Nintendo. And I'm also making playlists on Apple Music of like all of my childhood musical phases that I went through and like insisted that that was my identity for a long period of time, you know, but really it was like 6 months, you know, you'd wear heavy metal t-shirts for 6 months and listen to that music and then ska music and then hippie music. And so I'm just kind of categorizing everything in playlists on Apple Music.
I had a buddy in high school who like, he would change identities. Were you that guy? Cause my one buddy, like he took the hard left turn at one point going from like being like into punk rock to like becoming a hippie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah. I like that may have been drug related. I'm not completely positive, but yeah, like I had this one buddy who I think went through like three or four different phases in high school.
Yeah, I'm sure a psychiatrist could have a field day with that. But it was just that, you know, just kind of trying to pinball my way around. I still have all the shirts, though, you know, and I still like all the music. So I think it all works out, you know.
These have to be made public. I feel like at the end, I'd like to see you actually write about this. Just like a quick intro blurb of what you were like for this phase of your life and then the playlist and let us sort of follow along with the journey.
I would love to share that with everybody.
All right. Well, I have something football related. Well, first off, I mean, there's one thing that you guys all are excited to hear me talk about on this podcast, and it would be funny if I said that during my what I've been busy doing segment. I'm going to save it for the end for our one good thing. But what I've been busy with, I actually have been watching the Amazon All or Nothing documentary on the most recent Eagles season, which is probably not a surprise for you guys to hear, because, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. The surprise might be that I just kind of missed it when it came out. I think it came out around February, and I was just busy after the Super Bowl with a couple of trips and a vacation and just never got around to it. And then I finished The Last Dance on the MJ Bulls, and I was like, man, it would be fun if there was a 10-part doc on one of my favorite teams. And then the light bulb went off, and I was like, oh, yeah, there actually is. So I'm four episodes into that, and I'm enjoying it so far.
I heard that that was like, I heard it was too sanitized, the Eagles one.
Probably.
I've heard it was like there isn't a ton of access.
I mean, there are, yeah, it's not, nothing's earth shattering. I mean, I think if it was, I would have heard about it more and watched it sooner. Like, the fact that I waited 3 months or whatever it's been to get into it is probably proof of that, but it's a fun watch. Especially, you know, as someone who's a fan of this team and these mm-hmm. players, like getting to see Dallas Goedert and Avante Maddox as roommates having a Nerf fight is fun. And some of it, even if it's sanitized, like one of my favorite parts, the Eagles had a terrible loss to Minnesota in the regular season, and they had this fake field goal that everyone hated where Jake Elliott threw an interception right before the half. And for all week after that, everyone's talking like, oh, my God, why did they do that? What are they doing? And it was fun then watching them in practice the week before, like installing this play that they totally thought was going to work. And then talking on the sideline about, oh, it's there. We're going to do it. And then knowing what happens at the end. So, like, you know, some of those, even if it's not, you know, it's not the Jordan Bulls, nobody's punching anyone in practice, no giant fights. It's, you know, it's still fun to watch it. It's a good football fix here in the long off season, especially without any sports on.
Very cool.
All right. That was very enthusiastic. Thanks, Connor. natural break means I guess it's time to move on. So what we like to do here is talk about some of our work and stuff that's been posted up on the site this week. And actually, good segue. We're talking about documentaries. And Connor, you wrote a piece this week for the MMQB about the Tom Brady documentary that's coming up in 2021, because it sounds like you're such a huge fan of it and can't wait to watch it. No, you're not excited at all. You ripped Tom Brady quite a bit. Speaking of sanitizing it, ooh, some of the edits I was tempted to make. But no, we let you go all in. And then you gave us eight NFL characters who you think would make much more interesting documentary subjects than Brady. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this piece, why you were tempted to write it, and who some of these people are you'd rather see?
Well, I think that this is going to be a very long infomercial for Brady's post-career plans, which are this sort of health guru. And I, you know, I gave the TB12 thing a chance. I read a good portion of the book. I've watched all the things, and I don't know. I feel like we deserve, there's so many more figures in NFL history that deserve that kind of 9-episode treatment, that we could actually dive into their lives and their histories and their stories instead of just being fed, like, you know, whatever he's going to try to sell us, you know, coronavirus prevention gummies or whatever he has on his website, you know. So I feel like it's so much, you know, there's just, like, the Michael Jordan thing was different, right? This was inside the mind of this maniacal figure, and Brady's not even done playing yet. We're not going to get any of the good details. They're going to satiate us with this little nugget of something that happened between him and Belichick and then never get into it, and it's going to be a 9-hour commercial for his pliability bands. And so I think that's, you know, we should all reject the premise and demand that ESPN do something else. And so I just kind of provided a little roadmap for them in case they were interested.
Does everyone feel the same way Connor does about the Brady doc and having no interest in it?
I don't know. I mean, like, I, so I mean, I talked to the producer about Gautam Chopra last week about what the plan is, and there's going to be some interesting stuff in there. And I think, you know, I think because he is who he is, it's going to get watched. And I think that's what ESPN's betting on, is that anything on any big star, people might complain about it, but they're going to watch. But I'm with Connor. I mean, it's going to be difficult. The challenge in coming up with something fresh and new and real is there for Gautam Chopra, who's, I mean, I think he's really accomplished at what he does. But to be able to do something that's like markedly different than the Brady Six or Tom versus Time, like, I just don't know how much there is left of his story to tell, you know? And so they're going to tell the story of the nine Super Bowl teams. You know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how much new there is, how much there is out there that's new, how much there is that hasn't been out there already that's new. It will be interesting to see, I think, some of the earlier teams, just in that maybe those guys are willing to speak a little bit more freely because those guys are a little further separated from the game. But the more recent ones, I mean, it's going to be hard for any of those guys. I mean, do we think Belichick's going to get in there and speak freely? Probably not, right? It's just, it's hard. And I think, to me, the key is going to be, like, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but it's going to be like addressing the conflict in his life. You know what I mean? It's going to be addressing Spygate. It's going to be addressing Deflategate. It's going to be addressing like the discord with Belichick the last few years. I mean, that to me is the key. Like, if they can get into that stuff, like, I think it could be good. You know, if they can go somewhere with that stuff that no one's gone before, then it could be great, you know, but they have to do that. It can't just be, like Connor said, a 9-hour commercial.
Yeah, and I feel like there's such a hesitation to really delve into those things when your career is still active. But you brought up a good point, Albert. Are they going to ask Belichick to sit for the documentary?
They are, yeah. So Gautam said, like, as you'd imagine, Bill's on our list. And one of the things that's interesting, I wouldn't think Bill would normally do that, but they're working with the NFL Films people. They're working with Ken Rogers and Ross Kedover, mm-hmm. and those guys are close with Belichick. And mm-hmm. so... that at least would indicate to me maybe they have a shot at getting him. Mm-hmm. And maybe getting him and getting him to be honest are two different things. Who knows?
Yeah, if they got Bill and they got Tom and they did the Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick treatment, that would be great. But yeah. Both of them are still actively mm-hmm. coaching, competing against each other potentially. So that's where I think it might be a little bit more difficult.
And I think it's too early, right? Like, yeah, the MJ stuff was interesting because of the perspective. Like, I would love to see and hear a detailed thing from both of those guys talking about their decision to separate, but it's a lot more interesting if they're talking about it 5, 10, 20 years from now when we know if they've had success separately then.
Well, it also allows them – I mean, Mitch, it also allows them to talk freely. Like, if you're separated from it, if you're, you know, whatever, 60-year-old Charles Oakley, you can say whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like – that's the thing is, like, so a lot of these guys are still, you know, like Mike Vrabel, for example, can he speak freely because he's still coaching in the league? You know, like, I just, there are too many guys that I think, I'm with you. If you were further separated, probably more of these guys would be retired and free to speak their mind and say whatever they want to say. I think there are too many guys that are sort of still have entanglements, like related to their career or whatever, that are going to keep them from really being honest.
I mean, I feel like, especially with this group, the psychological entanglement is a big factor, right? What was the Bill Parcells thing always? Like, you don't shake hands with someone, you don't glad hand before the game because you give them that slight mental edge or whatever. You establish a relationship of congeniality when you're trying to beat them. So, like, I think it's sort of the same thing. If you're honest on a documentary, if you're vulnerable about your feelings, you give them an opening the next time you play each other. So yeah. That's why these things are always better when the career's over, when you can truly be honest.
And any current player that they talk to, secretly or not secretly, wants to be signed in Tampa as a free agent. So you're not going to get any honest stuff. If there's like one of his old teammates, like, you know, and Gronk came back, but a guy like that or somebody who's chasing a ring, like, they're all going to say what they want to get on Brady's good side. Like, it's just so much better farther into the future after these guys are all done.
I saw Connor's list too. Like, one of the things that I liked about your list, Connor, was like the amount of guys that are sort of flawed on it. And I think that can be the key to these things too. Like, how cool would it be to see, like, one of the really crazy people from, like, the 70s? Like, something like this on, like, Lyle Alzado or Hollywood Henderson or, you know, one of the guys that just his life went off the rails. And, like, you really get to dig into some of that stuff. Like, those are the ones that, I mean, I think just from a life perspective, like, being able to kind of dive into some of the stuff that was going on with those guys would be really, really interesting.
Yeah, Connor, do you want to give us some of the guys who are on your list?
Sure. So we had Ken Stabler from the 70s, the Raiders, and just like a fascinating, was drafted by both New York baseball franchises, backed up Joe Namath at Alabama, played for Bear Bryant, Bum Phillips, John Madden. He's like a Forrest Gump figure of the NFL. A name that you suggested, Mitch, Terrell Owens, who I think it would be phenomenal to give him the space to tell his own story. And I feel like, he has definitely been perceived in a certain way, but I would love to see the veil lifted on that. And I couldn't give enough kudos to Jenny and Greg for their story on Andy Reid in the Super Bowl, and also Jenny's profile of Andy Reid. I would watch a 9-part documentary on Andy Reid. He just fascinates the hell out of me, even if they just did a 9-part documentary on the two stories that Jenny worked on. I mean, I would sit for Andy Reid because I feel like he's so integral to not only his connection to the past of the NFL and how he's bringing that back into the game, but how with Patrick Mahomes as sort of his avatar, he holds the key to the future of the NFL too, which I think both of them touched on really well too.
Thanks for the nice words, Connor. I said on the Weak Side podcast earlier this week that I would sit for a 9-part documentary on Connor Orr. The mustache could be its own episode. You better make sure to capture some film of it.
God help us. It's going to go away soon. But I thought another good one, and I actually watched a documentary that the NFL produced with Steve Wyche, who did a really good job on Fritz Pollard. And, not only was he a dominant athlete of his time, I mean, largely believed to be the first African-American player and coach in the NFL, but later in his career, also a music producer, a movie producer, published the first ever black-owned tabloid newspaper in New York City. So like fascinating, totally fascinating guy, a guy who was so talented that the NFL could not ignore him and was paid like $1,500 a game back in 1920, which was absurd, an absurd amount of money at the time. And like, I would totally sit for 9 hours worth of that just to kind of see how he was able to, kick open so many doors in the league just because of how talented and driven he was.
Yeah, he's a guy who has name recognition. I've heard his name from the Fritz Pollard Alliance, but I'll be the first to admit I knew very little about him and, his historical significance beyond, the first bullet point or two until reading a little bit more in your
piece.
Well,
along those lines, Jim Thorpe, would be one. Like, if you're going way back, like, he grew up, he's Native American, like, he had, like, he was just almost like, I almost sounds like when people talk about him, like, people, like they're talking about Bigfoot, you know what I mean? Like, it's just... like he's this larger than life figure from such a long time ago, and none of us really know anything about, like you mentioned with Fritz, like you don't know, like you've heard of him and he takes on this legend, but you don't really know the nitty gritty of his story. And so that's where something like this can be pretty informative, you know?
It's like the old, remember True Life on MTV, and it said, "You think you know, but you have no idea." that would be how I would start this 9-part documentary.
Yeah. I mean, another one, which I think probably more space would be good to put into context the impact, but Colin Kaepernick.
Totally.
Yeah.
100%.
All of these sound a lot more interesting. I just feel like we've already gotten, we got Tom versus Time, and we've gotten a lot of content. And so, I think it was an inspired idea.
Connor. I also think, this whole, idea of Jordan's so transcendent. Like, it worked for him.
And there was all this lost footage. There was, a thing that they unearthed.
I mean, I think for almost anyone else, that would be really excessive, right? Like, 10 hours on almost... I mean, Jordan is just, such a different level. I mean, maybe, LeBron eventually, right? Like, but it's just... Jordan's such a different level of, to me, it's like there are very, very few people that I think keep people's attention for that long. And Jordan is on that list because of who he was.
Well, and I will say it was the 97-98 Bulls. Like, everyone's been calling it the Jordan Doc, and obviously he's the star and takes up all the screen time. But they did have those sidetracks into Scottie Pippen's childhood and Dennis Rodman's story and Phil Jackson and everything.
Yeah.
So, this has been called the Tom Brady Doc. Like, I don't know if we're going to get backstory on some of his teammates and other important figures, then that's a little bit more interesting. But still, there's so much Patriots fatigue that, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm sure I'll end up watching the first episode because everyone will and everyone's going to talk about it. But I could easily see myself dropping off after that one.
Mitch, can I just tell you that I like that you re-up some of your good tweets from earlier years because you are a serially underrated tweeter. And when you put Tom versus Time into the Cyndi Lauper Time After Time song, I cannot get that out of my head, and I've sang it like three or four times out loud.
Listen, anytime I can take a tweet from 3 years ago that has like two likes and resurface it and get it up to like 8 or 9 likes, I'm gonna do it, Connor. So I'm glad to know you appreciate it.
Unfortunately, it's the new market inefficiency.
I don't think we have the rights to Cyndi Lauper. I don't know if I can just start singing it. But it's good to know that you've been singing it all week.
No doubt. Yeah.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but
all right. So, what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self, and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Albert, should we move on to you? I think, looking at the stuff you wrote this week, I think we have to talk about the Sky Judge, right? That's the conversation, your game plan column. Do you want to tell us, because a lot of people have written about it and talked about it, and I like that you had basically the inside story from the people who were working on it over the last 2 years, and there were a lot more details in there than I expected. Do you want to just tell us about your story?
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of people have kind of gotten lost in that term, the Sky Judge. The idea of the Sky Judge came from the AAF, because and Connor knows this as well as anybody. The AAF was the one that came up with the term, and I think the fact that that kind of surfaced right at the same time that the Saints Rams thing happened in January of 2019 sort of spurred the coaches subcommittee. There are a half dozen coaches on that committee to really start to say, we need to find a better way to do this. And at the root of the whole thing, it's everyone at home, all of us sitting here talking, like, we have the benefit of crystal clear, high definition views of 8, 10, 12 different angles on every single play in every single game. And so it seemed crazy to me, and I think it seemed crazy to these coaches, that you wouldn't give that benefit to the person who's officiating the game. And so the whole idea and the whole root of this was, how do we make sure that whatever anybody sees in the broadcast is like the officials have the access to that, and so we can take away like the really, really bad misses. And so over the last 2 years they worked on this. They came up with a Sky Judge proposal at the owners meeting in 2019, voted it through 32-0. That is actually where the pass interference review came from. That was actually the compromise in the room. But Jason Garrett, you know, stood up in the room in front of the owners and talked about getting it right. He drew a round of applause from them for that. The Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, stood up in support of the coach's effort to try to sort of change the paradigm in officiating. And, they got back together, and a lot of people thought, okay, like, well, after the PI thing, this thing's dead on arrival. And they got to the combine in February, and they were really able to swing the competition committee. They were able to swing people from the league office. Troy Vincent, Dave Gardy from the NFL office became big supporters. The competition committee worked with them on it. I think that the real idea here was to make sure that you find something that works for everybody. And so they wanted to make sure they respected the official. And this was never going to be an official that was going to be able to stop the game or make calls on himself by himself. It was just somebody who reports to the head referee. And, the compromise now at the very end has been, instead of adding an official to the crew, they're going to take the replay official who's already existing. They're going to make those guys parts of crews and then give them the ability to communicate down to the field within the first 15 seconds of the play clock, and then, you know, upon request from the head referee. And so it's a little complicated how they got there, but this is really the offshoot of the Sky Judge. And I think the hope is it works in preseason. If it works in preseason, it goes in during the regular season. And if it works in the regular season and it helps the officiating crews out, then they'll expand it in 2021.
All right, here's my question. Do you think this will have a bigger impact on either A, getting more of the calls right, or B, the pace of the game and the time of the game, having too many stoppages, or possibly if it causes more stoppages, which is a bigger impact on the
rules? I don't think they're
going to
have more stoppages, because this guy can't stop the game. The thing is, like, if there's something obvious, he'll buzz down in the first 15 seconds. The ref will then make the change that needs to be made. If the referee was going to have like an officials conference on the field, well, then that conference was going to happen anyway. And so maybe buzzing up to the guy up top will actually expedite that, because he'll be able to add something to the discussion and say, hey, I saw this up here that you guys might have missed. And maybe it makes that quicker. And the other thing where I think it helps pace of play, and this is something Anthony Lynn was I'm sure you've talked to him about it, Jenny. Like, he was adamant about this part of it. He was like, you know, I think it's actually going to like make the pace of the game faster. He said it was a priority for him. And the reason why is it's going to cut down on challenges, and that there are some obvious, there are some obvious misses out there where the replay official is going to be able to take care of it. You know, the replay official is going to be able to call down and take care of that. And now, instead of having, you know, the challenge come, the official go out underneath the hood, come back and correct the call and tell the world what they already know, Now you're going to be able to do it within the first 15 seconds of the play clock. And so I don't really know where it slows the game down too much just because they put so many guardrails up around the guy.
And a big emphasis was not adding personnel to the crews, right? So that's right. Why they kind of settled on this in-between measure.
Yeah, and that was the big thing was like, Jenny, I think at the end it was like, okay, so who is this guy? And I'm sure you guys have heard that question, like, how do we add 17 officials? How are we going to find 17 officials? And the coaches didn't really buy that, I found. But they said, we'll work with you on this, okay? Because the coaches initially wanted this booth umpire to be an experienced official, like either a former white hat, that's what they call the head referee, either a former white hat or a guy who's an experienced guy in the crew, and then shuffle the crew around, right? And then add a young official as the eighth official. The league was worried about adding 17 officials at once. And so Walt Anderson has been a big part of all of this. He's the one who at the owner's meeting or at the combine stood up and like they asked him, what do you want? Well, I don't want to be on SportsCenter on Monday. And, you know, this sort of became the goal of this whole thing. Walt stepped in and said, like, look, I think the replay officials are pretty good. And I think if we can have them build relationships with the crew, then we can make this work. And that's going to be so key to it, because what the coaches were worried about was just these breakdowns in communication because they don't know the guy up top. So if it's an experienced guy, that like communication will work faster. Having a replay official there, you know, I think the question is how the communication works, but you're dead on there. The question, the biggest question was who it is, and the coaches allowing for it to be the replay official was actually a compromise on their part.
I remember at the combine in 2019, the line was, where do sky judges come from? Which I just got a big chuckle out of because it's like, where do babies come from? Where do sky judges come from? But do you think then they could further build on this? Like, do you think this is like a stepping stone to having that full-blown sky judge?
I don't think that they – so the coaches I talked to, they didn't really – they didn't want to take power out of the head referee's hands, right? So they don't want the sky judge to be up there – like making calls himself, interrupting the game, stopping the game. They didn't want that. So I don't think it's ever going to get to the point where the guy up top is like officiating the game. What they wanted was for him to be a resource to the head referee, which I think the replay official will be starting in August. Where you could see it expand is what sort of falls under their purview. Penalties won't be right now, but the hope is eventually they get there. And I can give you guys a good story of how this actually has happened, like how this has sort of already been in play. So in the Ravens Steelers game in October, I believe everybody remembers the hit, like the Earl Thomas hit on Mason Rudolph, right? So well, if you go back and you watch the game broadcast, you'll see that when they cut to commercial, there's no flag on the field, and then when they come back from commercial, there is a flag on the field. So as it turns out, the flag was thrown during the commercial break, went down with about 40, 45 seconds left, right? And so, or 45 seconds after the play was called dead. So John Harbaugh walks over to the referee and says, well, where'd that flag come from? And the referee tells him, well, the guy upstairs, you know, just kind of called down to me and said, you need to drop the flag. And Harbaugh looked at him and he said, oh, a sky judge. And just sort of walked away. I think in certain ways they are already using a guy upstairs. This just sort of formalizes it and puts guardrails around that guy.
So, Albert, what's your sense of the – you said it's going to be in the preseason and there's a chance they can extend it to the regular season. What would you say are the odds that we actually see this in the 2020 regular season?
I think it'll be in the regular season. I have a hard time seeing too many hiccups happening. And I think the referees will like having that resource. I mean, look, like these guys get graded, right? Like every week, and it's a tough job. And I think sometimes we don't give these guys enough credit. Like, and you guys, Connor, Jenny, you guys have been at field level. I don't know how anybody makes out any of that at that speed. You know what I mean? Like how fast everything's moving. Like, I don't know how any of these guys can kind of like catch some of the stuff they catch. And so like, I think giving them the extra resource, I think those guys would love that. You know, if I'm able to drop a flag 5 seconds after the play, that was an obvious flag to drop. Right. And no one even knows it because it's coming in my ear and we get it right. Like, why would I not be happy with that? Like, the head official is going to love that, and he's not going to make a big deal out of it either. He's going to want to just have this thing work smoothly and everybody move forward with it. So I think that was really the key to it, is that it is sort of centered on helping the referee. It isn't creating an opponent for the referee. It isn't creating, like, an adversary for the coaching staffs. It's just it's adding a resource for the referee.
It really does move fast at field level. I was down there one time when, was it Antrell Roll ran into a cameraman and he ended up with like a deep contusion on his knee, and it could have been worse. And there's just like, things fly so quickly at field level. So
the noise that they make when they hit each other too. Now Connor, you and I played high school. Like the noise that they make when you hear that, it's like, oh my God. Like it's like that really dull thud that you hear when players, like, it's just, if you see a game at field level, it's just like an NFL game at field level, it's just like another level of, like, it kind of wakes you up to what these guys are doing.
I think that noise might be part of the reason they're talking about fake crowd noise in some of these stadiums.
Yeah.
I forget what sport it was, like, I don't know, Irish football or like rugby or whatever, but there was a sport, the first sporting event that didn't have any fans, that I think was in Europe, maybe this was March or April, and it was just like, listen to how gross this is. And it was a sport with like no pads, and guys are just hitting each other, and the sound on the contact was just brutal. And yeah, you've got to think NFL games played in empty stadiums are going to be the same way. Just everyone's gonna be able to hear what it's really like down there.
They're going to have to figure out something. I mean, you know, imagine, well, not imagine. I mean, there's going to be a serious injury in the first week of the season, you know, and that's not wishing that upon anybody. It's just a fact of the matter. And, you know, how much worse could that be if that is all we hear? You know, there's nothing to block that out. I think that that's a serious optical issue that the league has to consider moving forward.
I hadn't even thought about that,
but that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you could hear a crack or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've all experienced something like that, like a training camp, watching and hearing something, because at training camp you're so close, and oftentimes the practices, there's nobody there except for the media, and you hear a player, like, really in a lot of serious agony, or you hear the actual injury, something break or the like, and it's really scary. But maybe that's what people need, you know, to wake up to what players are going through and the dangers of the sport.
I don't know. I had the, like, German soccer on the other day, and I thought I was going to hate the fake crowd noise, and it really didn't bother me.
I haven't listened to it yet, actually.
Me neither.
I'm sure I will at some point.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like distracting and weird, and it was fine.
You know what I'd prefer is they just you remember the World Cup in 2000? I'm gonna get the year wrong, but the year of the vuvuzela.
Yeah, in and South Africa.
Yeah, just do constant vuvuzela.
Everyone hated that.
I would love that.
That was the worst.
I loved vuvuzela back then.
You picked the worst possible example of sound at a sporting event.
Our former lovely editor, Mark Mravik, still has a vuvuzela, and I believe he was sounding the vuvuzela right for rescue workers, wasn't he? Didn't he tweet that?
Yes, he was.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think the year was 2010, Connor, because my mom won some like promotion at the bank, and there were these two like FIFA World Cup hats and this little like collapsible cooler, which I actually have in the closet over there. And my dad loved the hats for whatever reason. He's not a big soccer guy, but the hat was like black and it fit well, and it was like, you know, just a good shape and fit and fabric. So there were two of them. So he wore the first one for like 8 years until it was like so incredibly faded that it was impossible to keep wearing it. But then there was this magic second one. So it's 2020 and we're still on the South Africa 2010 World Cup hats.
I love
that the year, like, South Africa would have been like the games were on in the morning, right? Like, that's how I sort of remember the World Cups, is like when they were on.
Yeah, that sounds right, because they would have been, you know, 8 hours ahead, or I'm not quite sure what the time difference is. Maybe 9.
I the only thing I remember about that was our intern summer, my intern summer at the Star Ledger, right? And they had, it was Brazil against Spain, was like a big consequential match near the Newark Star Ledger. And so the Ironbound district of Newark was all, you know, people from Brazil and Spain. And so the two interns were dispatched to like go hang out in the Ironbound for the day. And that was like the greatest reporting assignment of my entire life. It was just like sangria and parties and vuvuzela. And, you know, it was just a lovely experience.
Oh, that's the Ironbound in Newark. That's a really special place.
That's where your love of the vuvuzela comes from. We've pinpointed it here. It wasn't actually Newark. From hearing it on the games.
I mean, those restaurants in Newark, I mean, there's like so much culture in that like small area. It's really a wonderful place.
This will be the first year, I think, in like 6 or 7 years that I haven't gone to the... I mean, I can't imagine the Portuguese Day Parade is going to take place, but that was like one of my all-time favorite things in the Ironbound. Maybe it was Portugal and Spain, now that I think about it. Probably Portugal and Spain.
That makes sense. It's a natural rivalry.
Yes.
And that, Iberian Peninsula game. That's a whole... That's a thing.
Yeah. Forgive me, people of the Ironbound. Sorry, I botched that.
All right. Should we hop into one good thing and then wrap? Is that the plan here? Does anyone want to go first?
I'll go.
All right, Jenny, give us one good thing since the last time we did this podcast.
Last week, I received a surprise delivery in the mail, and it was a gluten-free pasta package gift basket from Connor Orr.
Wow.
So that was my dinner that night. I had no plans for what I was going to make, and I got a package notification from my building, and I didn't know what it was because, you know, packages have been slow, and so who knows what's coming on any given day, and it wasn't anything I ordered, so it was a nice surprise and really good pasta.
What and shape cheese. Noodle was it?
Well, there was spaghetti, and there was also penne, and there were two kinds of sauce, and salad dressing, and two kinds of cheese. So...
Nice. Well, we'll need pictures to put on the MMQB Instagram.
Oh, hopefully great. You took some. All right. I'll send that along.
All right. Connor, how about you? One good thing?
Well, I sneak previewed it. We were off microphone when I was talking about this. So I got a package from Jenny this week. And it was tea inspired by the New York Botanical Garden, and I'm a big tea connoisseur. I love tea. I have like 3 or 4 cups of tea every day, herbal tea, and there were so many good ones in there, including blueberry Merlot tea, which is like, I thought I had tea before, but now it's like no tea can compare to this. So it was like the greatest gift ever. I was so excited.
Do you only
Connor's birthday's coming up.
Do you only drink herbal tea, Connor? You don't drink tea for caffeine too?
No, well, I do... I am starting to drink tea for caffeine again. I cut out all caffeine through like basically the beginning of March. And then I started drinking caffeine again like recently, mm-hmm. but only that's why I like tea because it's very, very subtle. Like, and I will sometimes use that if I need caffeine. But yeah, so it was perfect. And there's like a really good like jasmine green tea that I've had my eye on from the botanical garden. So Jenny just nailed it with the gift. It was good.
Nice. Perfect.
Well, maybe we'll let the two of you in on our little club at some point. But,
yeah. Yeah, just everyone. I was like, oh, did I miss a Secret Santa or something? Was I supposed to buy Gary a gift or that I don't? All right, Albert, how about you?
Well, I'll keep it going then. I'm going to give Connor and Jenny credit for doing something really nice where I won the mock draft competition. I think I took the crown from Dr. V over there.
That's right.
And and so Jenny and Connor like owed me some alcohol for it. And instead of giving it to me, they decided that it would be more meaningful to give it to somebody who's actually doing something important during this time. And that's my wife. As people who've listened know, my wife Emily's a nurse. And so they sent her 2 bottles of wine, Cloudline, I'm pronouncing that right? A bottle of Cloudline Pinot Noir and a bottle of Whispering Angel Rosé. And they said to the winner of the 2020 MMQB Mock Draft Challenge, Emily Breer, for all the meaningful work that you do to help others, cheers to you. So thank you, Connor. Thank you, Jenny. I know she appreciated the gesture. She deserved it a hell of a lot more than I did. So cheers to her.
Yes. Cheers to Emily.
Awesome. Cheers, Emily.
Thanks, Emily. All right, well, we are 4 for 4 on food and drink related items in our good things. I guess that all we have in the world now is just enjoying a good meal or a drink. But people, and I shared a sneak peek of this on Twitter already. I bought a big metal bowl, and I am just more excited about this than I should be. It originally, so.
No, you're properly excited. We're all excited, too.
So, well, you asked me for the link, and I sent it to you. I'm excited for you to send me a picture when you buy the same bowl. But, you know, the dream is the Jason Segel in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he's eating the cereal out of the big metal bowl. I bought it partly with that in mind, mostly because I've been eating a lot of salads, these very good prepackaged salads at the local supermarket. My neighbor, Jenny, can attest they have lots of good stuff at the West Side Market. But it's just... They're very big, and it's hard to mix all the mix everything together with the dressing. So I just wanted like a big bowl, and then I tweeted half jokingly about the cereal thing, and then I like instantly I post the tweet, and then Jenny puts it in the MMQB group text like, "Do we have to worry about Mitch or is something wrong or whatever?" and I talk a big game about saying I'm going to put cereal in this, and really I you know it's been mostly for salads, but honestly I love it. I have just somehow turned into a big metal bowl guy. And since I bought it, like two meals a day, I'm eating out of this bowl. I'm just putting in salads and quinoa bowls and just like anything that looks like I want to take it from any other receptacle in the fridge. You would normally put it on a plate. No, I'm just eating it out of the metal bowl. Doesn't fit in the dishwasher, so I'm washing it by hand like twice a day. I love it. I'm all in on the big metal bowl. It's been so much fun. It's changed my life.
I was serious when I said that, like, I probably will wind up ordering it because, like, I'm the guy who, like, I will never order a salad with dressing on the side because I don't trust myself to mix it myself. And so having something like that would definitely be a plus.
I read an interview with Ted Cruz's wife, Senator Ted Cruz's wife, and she said that sort of like an early taken aback moment in their marriage was when they bought their first house together and Ted went to the supermarket and bought like 900 cans of Campbell's soup. And he was like, great, now we have, this is what we're going to eat every day. And I wonder if your wife is going through something similar, Mitch, where like you're just insisting on eating every meal out of this metal bowl. And if this is just like an early sense of concern for her, or if she's supportive of the metal bowl. I don't know where
I don't know,
you
know, that cruise,
I don't know where
thing
she lands.
Sounds like a little bit more of like a panic bunker situation.
That is definitely creepier than the metal bowl. Don't get me wrong.
My wife has been supportive of this. I think she'd be less supportive if I came home with 900 cans of Campbell's soup. The funny thing is I've been to salad bars before where they have like at our old cafeteria at the office, which we used to be able to go into and see each other, you know, they've got like the paper cartons, and then they would have similar metal bowls, and I always saw it and I was like, I don't know, like I was never tempted to use one there. I guess probably because I would always take salads to go, and now it's like, oh man, how have I been eating salads wrong for the last 30 years?
You're right. That is the salad bowl. I knew I recognized it from somewhere. My favorite part of the group chat though was when Albert was like, what is this contraption? And it was like, well, it's just a metal bowl.
It's very simple. Yeah, I sent you the link on Amazon. It's like $10 for a metal bowl. And we have to have set a record for amount of time a group of four has talked about this product on Amazon. But whew, I tell you.
You'd be surprised, I would guess, that people have talked about some way crazier things for longer during these last few months.
If I order one, we can keep it going.
We want this. We want to be the MMQB Week in Review brought to you by Big Metal Bowls. Well, someday I'm going to eat cereal out of this thing, and you guys will be the first to know.
When you tweet this out, Mitch, you got to make sure you tag the company on the tweet. There might be something there. Maybe I can get a free metal bowl out of it.
Work on it. Well,
I'm going to consult with Connor on that.
Maybe Connor can do it. Connor's the expert on tweeting at companies, right, Connor?
Well, I thought I was in the past, but my spirit is mostly broken right now. So,
all right. Well, this has been fun, everybody. As usual, we talked a little bit about football and maybe went a little bit off the rails. But thanks, everyone, for making the time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will talk to you perhaps next Friday. Sometimes, you know, we don't always know when we're going to be on the calendar, but subscribe to the MMQB NFL podcast. You'll get Albert every week. You'll get Jenny and Connor every week on the Week Side Pod. You'll get this on Fridays, and we'll talk to all of you again soon.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.